Heavenly Father, we pray now as we look at your word that you will open our hearts, our minds, and be that we can be receptive to what you have to say. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word, that you will not only show it to us, but help us to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." These were thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this portion of scripture, we see it's almost identical to the one from last week, at least in part. And we find that Jesus is now starting to teach his disciples of what's going to happen to him, starting to teach them not only what he had taught the crowds, the repentance of God, that the kingdom of God was at hand, but that he was talking to his 12 disciples mainly here, and he says, you know, I am going to go up to Jerusalem, and there are many things that's going to happen to me there. I will have the triumphal entry. I will also cleanse the temple, and I will show them that my temple is supposed to be a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. And it makes us look to see where do we stand in this today. And so we find Peter, who had just been promoted, so to speak. He had, when Jesus had said, "Who do people say I am?" And they said, "Isaiah Jeremiah or Elijah or one of the prophets." And then Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter, being the one that speaks out the quickest, he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You know, you did not know this on your own, but the Spirit of God has shown it to you and made you realize that I have come from God the Father. I have been sent onto the earth, and I have come for a purpose. And this purpose is to die for the sins of the world, to go into Jerusalem and find all these things that happen." As we look in our Old Testament lesson, and we see only one verse, a very prominent verse, and yet we find God talking to the Israelites, and he's talking to us today. He says, "My people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water." And how many times have we done that in our own lives? We find we want to turn and we want to do the things of our own life thinking we know best. We think we know the answers. We think we have the answers. And we look to ourselves rather than to God. We look to ourselves to make everything come together the way we want it to do in the physical world. And we forget the spiritual aspect of what God is telling us, that we have forgotten the foundation of living water. We have forgotten that God sent Jesus Christ into the world to save the world from itself, from sin, from Satan, and from the tyranny of the devil himself. And yet we find that he goes on and he says, you've hewn out for yourselves cisterns that leak water, and you have forsaken the everlasting water, which we would find in the Psalms 36, verse 9, tells us that God is the fountain of living water. Jesus told the people listening to him, if you believe on me, and he told the woman at the well, he says, if you would have asked, I would give you living water that flows continually out of your heart and out of your soul because you have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Then we go on and we find that as we look at this portion of Scripture, we find by making our own cisterns, trying to do things ourselves, we are dead to the world. We're dead to ourselves and we're dead to Christ if we don't have him as our personal Lord and Savior. You see, Jesus told the disciples that he was a fountain of living water in the Gospel of John. He proclaimed it to the people that were willing to listen to him, and he was willing to claim it even here. Yet we see that Peter rebuked him. Peter was looking at the now world. He was looking and waiting for Jesus to take over the reins and become the one who would overthrow Rome, and hopefully they would be set up in a position where they would be welcomed as some higher position maybe in the physical world. Yet Jesus looked and he told them, you have it all wrong. You see, I was sent by God, and I came to reconcile the whole world back to me. And I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And as we see this, we see that he had to rebuke Peter. Now, Satan was using Peter there, and Satan uses us in many times. He gets us to take our eyes off of Christ. He gets us to take our eyes off of eternity. He gets us to look at our burdens and the things going on in our life, and we say, poor me. You know, it is so hard to go through these things, and it is very difficult. Yet we find that if we have Christ in our heart and in our life, and we call upon him and keep our eyes focused on Christ and focused on eternity, that God will help us through each one of these hard times. That God will take and help us, that we can be imitators of Christ in this world. That people will see Christ in us and glorify him. That we will find that Jesus is there willing to help. He says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and there is no change. Yet man wants to change it. We can look on the world situation today, and we see so many changes trying to take place. We can talk all day about the things going on, and we know many of them are wrong. We know that they have set up ways in which to try and combat what the good is, and Satan wants to destroy everything God made. You can ask these people, what do they want when they destroy what they got? And they have no idea. They don't care. They only want to destroy what's there. Why? They don't even know that, half of them. But it is because they don't have their eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. They don't have their eyes fixed on what God did when he sent Jesus into the world. They don't have their eyes fixed that Jesus had to go into Jerusalem and that he would have to be persecuted and hung on the cross. We look at the cross as a way of salvation, and we look at it as the glory of God. Yet when Christ was there, the crucifixion on the cross was one of the most horrible deaths a person could have. And this is the death that Jesus did for you and for me. You see, he took all the sins of the world. And as we read in that little brochure a little earlier of how God said, pile all your problems here. Jesus took them all, and he died for them that you wouldn't have to have them. Yet we know that we will be tried, and that God says, I will give you a way of escape on every temptation that comes upon you. Look unto me, the author and finisher of your faith. Jesus says, I am going up to Jerusalem. I will be tried. I will have my hair pulled out. I will be beaten. And I will do it all because of my love for you. Because I was sent by God the Father into the world as flesh, and I took my divine power and set it aside so that I could live this life perfect and holiness and righteous before all men, and that I would die on the cross of Calvary and I would win that cross. I would win that battle on the cross. And in that battle, I will take the keys of hell and death away from Satan, and you will no longer be under the bondage of Satan. You will no longer be under the bondage of sin if you trust in me above all things. And Jesus has told us that, and we read that in Peter, that we are to leave the things of this life. We're to leave the life that we used to live and live for Jesus Christ. Live as he is number one in our heart and in our life. In Romans, it tells us that if we claim to be a Christian and our thoughts are in enmity or carnal, they're in enmity against God. And if they're in enmity against God, that means we're fighting against his kingdom. It means we're going against what he wants us to do. He wants us to give our heart, our mind, our soul, our complete being to him. And that when we would take up our cross and follow him, as he tells us in Matthew 10, that's the first place probably in the scripture where it talks about taking up our cross. We are to take up our cross and follow Christ. And taking up our cross, that means we give 100% to Jesus Christ. That 100% of our life has to portray what he wants us to do. We are to get out of our comfort zones, and we can take and proclaim Jesus Christ in thought, word, or prayer. That if we come alongside someone and they want to talk about something, we should be there to listen, not to push them aside. Do we have people that we know are very living in sin, and yet they may want to talk to you about salvation? Are we willing to listen to them? Are we willing to step aside and step out of our comfort zone and say, I am here to help you. I am here if you have a problem. I am here to listen to your problem and to prayerfully and hopefully show you the way of salvation through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. In this Lenten season, we are looking towards the cross, and we're looking at what Jesus was going through in his spirit even, as well as the things that were leading up to his death. He knew very well when he came into the world what would be done. And he prayed, we'll be talking about that in one of our future messages, of how he prayed for the cup to be removed. Have you prayed many times for something to be removed that you have to go through because you feel it's too hard? And yet God will give you the strength, and he will give you the mercy, and he will help you as you look to him and to him alone for that grace and that faith to go through these trials that are set before you. You know, I knew a lady, and she one time prayed, and she commanded God to give what she wanted. And she commanded God. She says, "You have said whatever I ask, that it will be. And I command you to let my boy, who was a baby, was sick, I command you to let him live. Because he's my son and I don't want him to die. Therefore, I want him to live." And she said, you know, that boy lived. And when he grew up, she said, "I want to tell you, never command God to do anything. Ask him, yes, but do not command him." Because she said, before she died, she said that boy had turned into an atheist, had nothing to do with religion, and wanted nothing to do with religion. And she says, "How my heart aches that I didn't let God take him as an infant into his heavenly kingdom." We don't know what our life holds, but we do know that we can trust in God above all things. For he said, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. My law and my commands do not change. They're the same as they always have been." And I want you to know that if you will put your trust in Jesus, you can have that living water that flows out from you. You won't be living the life that you used to live, because you'll have Jesus Christ in your heart, and those that see you will know that you have Christ, that you will not live in enmity against God in your thought life or in your life itself, but you will ask God to help you serve him, and that you will not obey Satan, but that you will resist the devil and he will flee from you, because the nearer you draw to God, the further Satan has to get away from you, because Christ has first place in your heart and in your life. Christ has first place in your spirit, in your mind, in your strength, and in your glory that you're giving away because of the glory that God has given you. And God shows his glory through you and through each one of us as we pray and as we live for him day by day. We find too then that we can not only have this living water, and we find that when Jesus told Satan to get behind him, because he was talking to Peter, but Satan was using Peter, he says, "You're a stumbling block to what I have to do. I have to go into Jerusalem, and I have to go through all of these trials, and I'm doing it because I love you," he's telling us. "Because I have my love so great for you, I am willing to give my life and go through all this torment and through all of this torture that the physical life can give, because I love you and I want you to have me in your heart and your life, and in the end you would have eternal life." Praising God, singing praises to him, speaking the word of love from him, and people would see you wherever you are working, or if you have a something going on and you meet people, you would find that God would watch over you and keep you and help you as you keep your mind on him. Do not let Satan overcome you in temptations. Do not let Satan overcome you in changing and thinking that what you're doing is not necessary, because God says, "If you love me, you will give me your whole self. You will take up your cross and you will follow me. And in that following, you will find that you have everlasting life." Jesus said, "If you save your own life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you shall find it, and you shall have eternal life in the hereafter." You know, I have to bring this up, I guess, but my brother, when he was passing away from this world, and he was about ready to pass on, The nurses said he had folded his hands and he said three times, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. And they said he died very peaceably. And you talk to the nurses and they said, you can tell a person that has Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They're normally completely at ease and very peaceable. And those that see the eternal damnation that they're going to face will find that they struggle and fight many times before they pass away. And we find then the need for us to try and pull one of these people out of the fires of hell by praying for them, by being willing to visit them in the hospitals or in the care centers or wherever they may be, but most of all to keep praying for them and praying that God will use us in such a way that we would be the shining lights of him to those round about us, that people would see Christ in you, and by seeing Christ in you, they would accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And even as Christians, many times we need the prayer of one another to pray that we would have the strength and the courage to step out of our comfort zones, and that we would be able to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into your rest, when he calls us out of this world. Yes, Jesus had to rebuke Peter, and he will rebuke us if we want to do it our way. Let us turn our hearts and lives over to him, making sure he has first place all the time, that we can be that river of flowing water out from him. And as we take communion, that we would realize too that it is what Jesus has told us to do in remembrance of what he has done for us. He has given his life and his all for us. Let us do the same for him. Lord, I pray that you would be with us, watch over us, and keep us, I pray, as we go forth from this place, that we can live for you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 257.